All right, howdy doody class. How are you guys this morning? Howdy doody. Yeah, pray for Abby. Abby's at home. Hey, Abs. You guys say hi to us. Abby has COVID, so she's...
Hi, guys.
For the most part of the week, Abby was on a vacation. Okay? I mean, she literally had food brought to her door. Whenever she wanted ice cream, can someone bring me chocolate ice cream, please? It's like to the door. When she's done, she never has to wash dishes. She just puts out, like, my dishes are ready to be picked up. And then we were like, what are you doing? Yeah, she's living in Gilmore Girls land. She's very inspired by her teacher Nancy. Teacher Nancy watches Gilmore Girls. That's my show. And she didn't experience any cabin fever until like yesterday, where she's like, if I test negative, can I just come to church now?
Yeah.
Like, no. No.
Yeah,
not really. So, pray for Abs. She's joining us, right, honey?
Yep, I'm here. I'm eating my breakfast.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to the Lord and see what this name's all about. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we just want to settle our hearts for a moment and recognize, Lord, that you are here with us. And sometimes it just takes a moment, Lord, to be aware of your presence. And we want to thank you for that. It means so much to me that you dwell not only with us, but in us. You are desiring to speak to us. You desire to reveal truth to us. And we just put ourselves in a posture to want to receive from you and to learn together with you as you reveal insight to us. Speak it into our life, Lord. Thank you for being such a personal and loving God. Thank you for loving to have relationship with your children. Thank you for being El Roy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So El Roy. Everyone say El Roy.
El Roy.
It just sound like El Roy, right? But it's El Roy. El Roy means the God who sees. And this is it's a fascinating place to find a name of God. And if all my fonts worked and everything is large enough, you should be able to see it. This website is great. We have to do size 80 font for the class to be able to read it. So I would rather you, though, go ahead and, just have your Bible open on your phone or device. That way you can kind of, I love to read around context. Some of you guys like to look at different reference verses, maybe that's associated with it. Pull up a commentary, that's fine, whatever you want to do. If not, if you didn't bring a Bible or, like, I'm struggling reading on my phone, forgot my glasses again. We have it large enough here. So let's just go ahead and let's read it. Can I have a volunteer? Daniel, I haven't heard you read in a long time. I'm just going to have you read it for us. Yeah, this is the background passage to the next verses. So this is like the context of what's going on.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children from her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her.
Wow. Okay. So we see this passage again. If you're familiar with the word, you're familiar with this story. There's a lot of stuff going on in there. I mean, it's kind of, what do you guys feel about that? Just gut read? Good or bad?
Bad.
This is wonky. This is wonky. First, we don't have maidservants. We don't have servants. But even if we did, man, this is out there. So that's Genesis 16, 1 through 6. Here's our key passage, though. And this is an interesting place and an interesting person to discover our third name of God that we'll be looking at. Okay, Bobby, can you just go ahead and read this? Is that okay?
The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from my mistress Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring, so that they cannot be numbered or multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man.
That's what it said.
Okay.
Yeah.
He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against his kinsmen. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God of seeing. For she said, surely here I have seen him who looks after me, therefore dwell in his home. It lies between Kadesh and
Bear. Thank you, Bobby. So, what do you see there? How do you feel about that? Good, bad? Kind of interesting. Elroy means the God who sees. These are the different versions of English Bible translations that people have used for that phrase. I stuck this up there because I'm like, you know, it's kind of cool to see different versions. ESV. She calls the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing. Young's literal translation, thou art, O God, my beholder, the one who sees. NIV, you are the God who sees me. And New Living Translation, you are the God who sees me. I want you guys to take a moment and identify for us who are the main characters. Even in 1 through 6, you can see the main characters. And what has happened? Someone, give me the main characters here. Let's list them out. You have?
Sarai.
Mm-hmm. Abram. Mm-hmm. Hagar. Is Ishmael mentioned? Not yet.
Almost.
Who? Okay, that's in the next verses, right? But even in the, yes, we will see the angel of the Lord. Frank has talked about that before. Who is the angel of the Lord? A lot of times referencing to. Okay, do you guys remember that? He's talked about that before. But the main characters we see is Sarah, Abram, and Hagar. We're going to look at them a little bit. What's the conflict that has occurred? What's been going on here? We know that Sarah is Abram's wife, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what was the root of the problem or the conflict in this passage? What do you think the tension or the conflict comes from? And there are multiple layers to that. Okay, because there's something that they're facing on the surface, and then there's something that goes back deep, deep, deep to a promise. Right? You guys with me? Okay. So tell me what the root of the problem is. Do you guys need to discuss in your groups? Okay, not enough. Small enough team here.
Barrenness.
Barrenness. Okay. So what is barrenness? Does Clara know what barrenness is? Barren? Does Ryan know what barrenness is? Frank, what is barrenness?
Barrenness is unable to bear children. Empty. It's a desert land.
It's okay, just, yeah, unable to bear children. You're very descriptive, desert land. Okay. Yeah, just, can I have children? Frank, your teacher Frank is very poetic. It's a desert land. Okay, so that's part of the problem. Sarah cannot have children. And they've been married for a long time. They're the age of what grandparents are at this point. Okay. And so obviously it's not like they haven't tried. They cannot have kids. And that is part of the problem. Yes.
Because God made a promise to them and they want to be obedient to God.
Right. Cool.
Okay. Yeah. So they're like, so there's doubt. That's why they infuse Hagar into the equation.
Mm.
That, well, we can't have children, so that's the doubt.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they want to be obedient to God.
Right.
Really, so that's why they brought in Hagar to say, right, hey, look, this is logically how we can obey God.
Yes. Good, good. So, when they're going so long, unable to not just have children, because it is a big deal to not be able to have children. We cannot make light of that. That is one of the very heartbreaking things that couples face. When you, even before you have children and you're wondering, you know, can I have children? Will I be able to have children? Will God allow me to have children? Well, that's a tough concept to wrestle with. And then when you learn that it's hard or challenging, difficult, or even impossible to have children, that can be absolutely devastating for a married couple. I think that is something we don't talk about often in the church. I don't know when it's ever been mentioned in any room of this church or any corner of this church, but I do want to just say a quick note that when people face that, when couples face that, I think it deserves a lot of like prayer coverage, a lot of compassion, a lot of sensitivity. And so just want to put that out there. I think that's important for us to learn as a church. But what does Sarai say to Abram, right? She says, number one, who prevented her from bearing children? She said, the Lord prevented me. Okay, so as Bob said, she's finding an alternative means, right? So go into my servant, basically go and try to have a child with my servant. And Abram Is he a wise husband? I don't know. I don't know. Because, you know, in churches, sometimes we joke, man, you know, good husbands just got to listen to their wife. And I do a lot of times, don't I? But I'm not sure if there's wisdom in this particular situation. Okay. Bob explained this already. Why was it such a big deal? Besides normally it being a big deal for Sarai specifically to not have children, Bob used the word promise. There was a promise that who made to them? God made to them. Right? Let's look at that promise right now. Now the Lord said to Abram, oh, so let's have you guys read it. I'll just kind of go around. Or Rebs, Bex, whoever wants to read it.
Now the Lord created from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land.
That's a man right there.
I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and you, all the families of the earth shall be cursed.
Okay. That is the blessing. That's Abram's blessing. A promise that he received from the Lord. Now, I want to tell you their ages, because this is crazy, okay? Abram's already 75 years old when he received the promise. Okay? Yeah, rise it. Dang. He's 75 years when God promised him, I will make you a great nation. They're already like, it's not even like, okay, this is such a cool promise. We just got married. We're young and fresh, and we're going to go for it. They're 75 years old, man. Like at close to 50, getting out of bed is hard. I can't read my phone. Last night, I'm struggling reading my phone. I think because I was tired, right? And we have all these issues. And now at 75, with white hair, you're getting this promise, I will make of you a great nation, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Sarai was 10 years younger, so she's 65 years old, right? Like, how would you feel getting that promise at that time, right? Okay, I see some eyebrows like shifting, you know? How would you feel getting that promise, right? They've already been married for 50 years. Clearly she's barren. And now 10 years have passed, so now they're 85 and 75. When this whole passage begins, right? It's like we're waiting. We're trying. We're waiting. We're trying. God made a promise. God promised us. God promised us. Let's keep going. He promised. This is God speaking to us. God gave us a promise. And at some point, what Bob said comes into effect. You said, God gave us a promise. We've been waiting. We're patient. We believe your promise. We're going to act on the promise. But at some point, now I feel like what? You just said, no, there's doubt in the promise. And yet I still want to be, you said what?
Obedient.
Obedient. So, see, there's a weird dynamic there, right? I don't know if you guys ever feel that as a Christian, where you're doubting God's way, you're doubting God's promise, and you still have the heart to want to obey. That's not solid footing, though. You see, when you want to obey and it's like, I don't know if I can fully trust in this. Is this for real? Will God really come through? Does God really say, last night in the youth we did our devotions, and does God really say that if I give thanks for a hard situation and I pray and petition it to the Lord, Is it really true that he will guard me with his peace? He will protect, cover my heart and my mind with his, is that really true? Will God really give me his peace? Is it really true that if I devote myself to God, that he's going to take care of all my needs? I was thinking about this other verse in Matthew. Oh man, I think it's in, where was it? And it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? People who hunger and thirst for God, what does the scripture say? What does this promise say? For he shall be what? Anybody? No. He shall be filled. Right? If you are hungering for God, is that true that you're going to fill me somehow? Is it really true that, I can trust in you with all of my heart? And I acknowledge you in all my ways and not think through it in the eyes of the world, that you're gonna actually direct every one of my steps to exactly where you want me to be. Is that true, God, that I can fully trust in you and what's been happening in my life? Because it doesn't look like you're there. It's been 10 years, and I am now full of doubt. Or starting to doubt. I'm not sure it's what you meant, Bob. Full of doubt, even starting to doubt. Oh my God, are you really? I don't know. I want to obey, but this is hard, God.
Full mode doubt.
Full mode doubt. Okay.
Buy your kid a gun.
Okay. Right. So, okay, we talked about this. We saw Sarah's response, responding to God's delay. Right? God delayed. Sarah mistook God's delay as a denial. And I think we all have a tendency of that in our life. You're waiting for something. You're hoping for something. You're hoping that God will come through in the way that you expect it to come through, right? Isn't that a lot? You know, I was preaching about this the last time I preached because I realize a lot of times we are expecting a, we call it a breakthrough, but we're looking for the breakthrough that we are praying for, right? We are hoping to get through this in the way that you already envision it to be. And if you have any, if you even have 1% of the amount of control freak nature that I do, okay, 1%. When I'm expecting God to come through, it's going to be in a way, it's got to be this way, God. It's got to be this way. And when I preached the last sermon, I'm like, man, we get really down when God doesn't come through the way that we are wanting him to come through. I like when Frank said in a popular Christian song, he says, don't demand God anything like that. What was that song that you hated, that phrase?
Oh, just
okay, sorry.
There's a lot of hate.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Let me take it down.
Do what you're famous for.
Yeah, do what you're famous for. Like, do it. Do it. Okay?
I understand the heart, right?
Yeah, I understand the heart. Maybe we shouldn't hate. I heard another Christian song on the radio the same way. It related me back to Frank's comment. Like, it's like almost as if you're commanding God to do something. I thought about that in my last sermon. I was like, man, so many times when we get, I was thinking, I didn't say this in the sermon, that the enemy is using that to manipulate us. He wants to set He wants us to set our hope on the breakthrough. And God's like, no, I want you to set your hope on me. On whatever I'm going to do. Because if you're always waiting for this picture of what's going to happen, you're going to always think that the enemy is against you, but you're going to forget that I'm for you. Right? You're always going to look at all the bad things that you're expecting and you're praying for to happen. You're hoping for that, but that's another form of idolatry too, right? Because now your hope is set on something happening the way you want it to happen, but I'm God and I want to unfold and unfold your story and your breakthrough in the way I want you know, I want it to be. I think that's what I was trying to capture in these notes here, right? I didn't come up with this phrase. I don't know where I heard it, but I looked it up. It's Robert Schuller. I don't know. Of Crystal Cathedral. My grandma loves Robert Schuller, even though I think there's some... my dad's mom. And love Robert, you know, she gave so much money to his ministry, loved him. She would always quote him. I think this is, I don't know if it came from her, but and I realized that he has some funny teachings, but he says God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Right? God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Now they could be, right? It could be that, you know, God wanted her to be barren and maybe it was permanently barren. We don't know what God's plan, you know, I mean, we do. But for them, it could be through another means. Just because he hasn't doesn't mean he won't. Okay? And what happened after she put her own plan into action? I want you guys to, right? I want you to talk about this. Okay, so get in your groups. And I want you to just look at the word and see all the chaos that ensued. Get into a group of three or whatever and just talk about, the question is, how did Sarah respond when her own plan of action, right? Because that's what she did. That's what Bob said. It's like, hey, I can't fully trust in God. I'm going to take matters in my own hand. I still want to obey. And I'm going to now put my own plan of action into place. Okay? Get into like little groups of three and you just get it. All right, so what are some different ways that Sarah responded to her own, quote unquote, Bobby calls it obedience, her way of obeying? What do you guys think? Anybody in the back? Anybody in the front? Anybody? Yeah.
I think Bob already mentioned it with what she thought logically made sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But her response was, oops.
Oops? Was it a big oops? Okay. Yeah, what are the different responses that you see even in the verses, the word of God? See, when you, I sat on this for a little while and I'm like, this is crazy.
She did a classic blame shift.
Oh, classic blame shift. She blame shifted. Right? Which is... Who did she blame?
Abram,
right? Classic. Usually it's the other way around. Men usually blame their wives. But this one was like, may the wrong done to me be on you. I gave you my servant to your embrace, right? You did this. You old man, you did this, okay? So there's blame shifting. Why do you blame shift? Anyways, that's a whole nother question. We're gonna have to do that. I had the wise on there. What else did she do?
Still harshly.
Mm.
But thank God.
Right. There's a lot of hate there. Right?
Hates.
Right. And why?
Hagar was looking down on her.
Hagar was looking down on her. Looking at her with contempt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like drama right here. And all of this conflict arose from the root issue of what? What do you think the root of the issue is? We've mentioned a lot of different concepts, but what do you think the root issue is going on here? Or it could be multiple. Let's just throw some out. You guys need to talk in a group? No. Someone said yes. Groups help. Think about it together. Like, what's the root issue?
I think it's like focusing on herself.
Okay.
More than she's focusing on God.
Okay.
In the circumstance she's in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So she's focusing in on herself, her circumstances, more than God. That's pretty common, right? It's very common then for all of us. Is there more we want to add to that? I'm just wondering.
I think one of them might be like thinking she knows the solution, like taking things into her own hands, you know, maybe kind of like thinking she knows, not better than God, but like he hasn't done anything, so let me just, you know, take things in my own hands.
Mm-hmm. Good. Taking matters into your own hands. Anything else?
Maybe Sarah is wondering why this calamity is becoming upon, you know, Abram. Why?
Sure.
Why God's not answering their questions? Maybe she's why? Maybe she's doubting. Did we do something wrong? Are we being punished? I think the lines are going through her head right now.
Right. That's what Bobby mentioned in the very beginning too. Good, Scott. Yeah, she has a. She could be a head case right now. Like, God, you promised. Like, I stood on your word. I pursued your promises. I trusted you. What did I do wrong? I deserve this. Have we ever thought that? Like, what did I do wrong here? This whole thing is messed up. But I think that goes back to Janet's initial phrase too. That's very me-centered too, right? It's like, then God's controlled by you. That's hard. This is hard. But I wanted to leave her there. We're not gonna really conclude her. I think I want that something that we're going to further see. You know what's crazy is that the meaning of Hagar's name in Hebrew is flight. The meaning of her name is to run. Right? Either she's built like an Ethiopian, you know, marathon runner. And that's the reason for her name, right? Frank talked about it and why names are important. But her name is flight, to run. And she did not have the name of fight, right? Her name is flight. So she ran away, right? It's okay. Is that booger?
Yeah.
Oh. It's okay. I don't know if we've covered this verse yet, but in Proverbs 18:10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs into it and is safe." It's not saying that the name, like, God's name is strong tower. When I first read this verse like years ago, I thought it just meant God's name is strong tower. So we call him strong tower, right? It's the name of the Lord is a strong tower. His name. All these names that we're studying of God, Yahweh. His name is a strong tower. And the righteous, the person of God, runs in to his name and is safe. Is that crazy? And towers are symbols of protection and provision. I was thinking about this, that if towers are symbols for protection and provision, everyone needs protection and provision. I prayed this yesterday when I was so tired in the afternoon, and I was like, not, you know, I wasn't able to sleep. I was laying there for a long time. And I was just thinking about different things kept popping in my mind. And like one of them, I told Daniel, I was like, oh man, Daniel has nowhere to go for the Super Bowl. I'm like, man, that sucks. I was going to invite him over to our house. And I'm like, oh man. I was like, God provide for him, please. And he did, provide a Bobby, right? So that was cool. So my question for us to think about this week is, what do you first run to? Or what are you primarily relying on for your protection and your provision? This is something, because this is, you know, also a devotional class. We're going to come back and revisit this next week, right? What do you first run to, or what are you primarily relying on, you, for protection and provision? Okay. So this is for you to think about, right? We talked about in the youth group last night. We looked at God's word and devotions. You may need protection from stress or anxiety that you're facing right now. But whatever it is, this is a question for us to think about during this week. What do you first run to? Who do you first run to for protection or provisions? When you need something, where do you go to first? And this applies to how you, like, to what we saw in Sarai's life and what we see in Hagar's life, even Abraham's life. Like, who do you go to first? What do you go to first? Right? Jenna was like, some people's response is to just keep looking at yourself more and your circumstance more. I was mentioning earlier, You're going to the hope of some sort of breakthrough, an answer to your prayer, an answer to your solution in the picture and in the framework that you want it to be. You're telling God it has to be like this. This is when I'll know it's a breakthrough. But God's like, I have other plans for you, bro. I have a plan for your breakthrough that will not look like the way you expect. Do we build our own breakthrough? Do we build our own, right? So this is something to really meditate on this week. And I'd love if you're able to think through this week and then go ahead and talk to someone about it. Or, you know, we'll talk in our groups about it next week, right? But I just love this, right? When I was like, oh man, you know, when I learned that Hagar's name means to run. And when she was treated harshly, when the circumstance fell on her this way, like, she ran. It didn't say that she ran to God. She just ran. For us, I think that... I'm going to end here for today, that the drama that they went through, we look at it and we say, that's like a soap opera. Like, these are real people. It's not TV, right? It's not a Korean drama. It's like real people. And there are some deep hidden stuff. You know, that you don't want to, I don't know if Sarai wants to broadcast all that she did. And that's part of blame shifting. You don't even want to own it, right? When Sarah, when Sarai's blame shifting, putting the blame on different people, putting the blame on God, putting the blame on Abraham, putting the blame on Hagar, you know, you don't want to own all that you've done. It's so deep inside. You're so hurt from it. It's hard to talk about. We encourage talking about this stuff in church, but to be honest, it's hard. You need to have a very close, trusting relationship that sometimes takes time to develop to be able to open up that type of junk. But the blessing and what we're going to look at next week is from the other main character, Hagar, is she is given the name of God inside of her. Now, when she ran, the Lord God came to her. And what's crazy to me is that she wasn't given the promise. She wasn't given the promise. When she ran and she had all this, she was dealt with harshly. All she did was obey her boss, her mistress. And God gave her a name because that's what God does. In the Name of God series, and the reason why Frank and I are going through all these different narratives is you're going to see. Oh, thank you, brother. Did you say thank you? You didn't say thanks. Did you say thanks?
Yeah, I was sure.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. The pattern that we will notice with God is that when people find themselves in these hardest circumstances that they're facing, that's when he reveals to them who he is. That's what the name represents. And every time the name is revealed, what we get to see is, wow, who God is, his name, is exactly what that person needs in the hard circumstance that they're facing. You guys with me on that? God reveals who he is so that can get you through the circumstance that you're facing. That's why these names are so important. Because it's not like God, God wasn't like Frank on the first day where it's like, hey, look at all these names of God. Hey, look at all these names right here. You know, we're going to be looking at Jehovah Elyon. After that, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rohi, El Shaddai. Hey, look at all these names. Pick one when you need it. No, what we see in Scripture is that it's when we're in the circumstance is when God most knows what we need. And it's a revelation of himself to us. Right? And Hagar, when she ran, here's just some stuff for you to meditate on. But Hagar runs away, and in this moment, and she's the one who's the mother of Ishmael. That's not like great news. She doesn't know that at the time, right? Well, don't give a man. But the fact that God revealed his name to her in her circumstance, and it so applies to us today, right? So any thoughts? Before we wrap up, any thoughts online? Yes, Amy.
So I it's so interesting for me to think about Sarai because I see that it's easy to read her kind of like objectively as a person on a piece of paper, you know, why is she acting this kind of irrational
rational way or whatever, but I see her as like someone who was like in a lot of pain. You know, she's reacting out of pain. You know, if I imagine her life being married to Abraham, big, you know, name in all the land, and she's probably, you know, she's barren, you know, years of being withheld something so important, you know, and I think a lot of her actions are a result of pain, you know, and I think that happens to people now a lot too, right? And you know, what you were talking about is, you know, the eyes. Are you looking at your pain? Are you looking inward, even Janet, right? Are you just looking and dwelling in your pain? You're acting out of your response to deep pain for many, many years, pain from the thinking that you're forsaken by God, you know, society looks down on you, whatever, your own self-doubt, anything, right? All of that is deep pain. But if you turn your eyes away from that, that's the only way you can do that. You have to look to the Lord.
And God knows that, right?
He sees. He sees the eyes, right? And what's interesting too is Sarah's reaction to her pain, like sometimes you're Sarah, right? But sometimes you could be Hagar.
Yeah, right.
You could be suffering as a result of someone else's pain.
Yes.
You know, you could be the taker of that. You know, and that's like the cycle of sin in our life, right? In creation. That sometimes in our life, the pain that we feel, what we're running from, or what we where we are today, is because of someone's decision in our life that has come to bring me.
Right.
You know? But all of that is you can't keep swirling around to that. You have to take your eyes off of that. Absolutely.
Yeah, you gotta get out of the washing machine tumbler and get dried in the sun. I don't know why I said that. I don't know if that makes sense, but
That's an interesting insight, because I've never seen it from Hagar, that she's the taker of that. And you wonder why the Lord revealed his name to Hagar and not Sarai. You would think Abraham, Sarai, they're the recipients of the promise. But this name was revealed to Hagar. That again shows something about God in a very different light. And Hagar is the mother of the
I actually wrestled with that. I wrestled with that, this thought, like, why was Hagar revealed? Why did the angel of the Lord come to Hagar? So amazing, the compassion of God. And
it was thinking, this is not so compassionate thought, but it was first of all, Hagar was an Egyptian. She wasn't even part of the people.
Right.
Like, but for God to approach her and say, I see you. For her to be like, wow, I just see the one who sees. I mean, it's an incredible encounter that she has with God. And then it's almost like God's like, well, I guess I have to clean up this mess. It's like, you know, because you are still the seed. You still carry the seed of Abraham. You know, you guys deviated, but now, you know, here's something else to kind of, I guess, repair the damage to his original plan. Like, he brings up this other plan. And I don't know. Part of me is like, God's almost, sometimes, I don't know why, and he just lets us make the mistake, and then he finds a way to work with it, work around it, work, you know, through it, which is where I see the grace of God. It's like, he could have just been like, no, I'm not going to deal with the mess. Stay to my track, you know, but there's something within the character of God that says, even if you make a mistake, all three of them are not perfect at this story. They all kind of had their role in this. Yeah, for God to still fulfill the promise, still find a way to work through our pain, to redeem us from our pain that we caused on ourselves.
this is self-inflicted.
It's a different kind of, it's a facet of grace that's like
why would you even do that? Like, you know, you wouldn't even do that, but it's.
Why did he care about Hagar so much to reveal his name to her? Like, man, I'm still mind-boggled by that. Yeah, the mother of the other nation, you know, the enemies of God. Like, man, what? How is this to be? So, you know what? Meditate on this. Feel free to, you know, I don't mind if you, like, but it'll be cheating a little bit if you, like, you know, look forward. Because we're going to look at the other main character next week. We're going to look at Hagar and what she goes through, how she experienced God. All right, so I'm going to open it up for anyone in the class or anybody online to just give us a closing prayer, okay?
I'll pray.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, this morning, devotional time, that we can come to you and learn together, Lord. We truly know and hear you, and we thank you. We know, let us know that your ways are not often our ways, Lord, and help us to grasp your love and not go about in our own might. Thank you for revealing your name in our times of need. Thank you, Lord. Please be with us on this Sunday. Open our hearts to the sermon this morning and help us to live out what you teach us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.